Hallelujah, Brother Blake Bunyan's in here tonight, live on WWRB 3.185, clear channel around the world. We're being simulcast also tonight, ladies and gentlemen, on worldwide internet. We appreciate having you in here on a Monday evening with Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We got a great program. The title of tonight's message is Alpha Draconius. Alpha Draconius. We're going to talk to you about the serpent race, how that they have mastered the earth, and how that they have controlled humanity for thousands of years. How we're going to break that spell? Well, we're going to tell you. You got to step on your safety belts. And we're going for a ride in the heavens, and we're going to see what ensued. We'll be right back after Blake finishes up on Changing Me. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't go through the change, and we're talking about passing from death to life, we're talking about leaving the carnal mind and going into the heavens, into the fifth dimensions. We're talking about the things of spirit realm. We're talking about the impossible of the flesh to comprehend. We're talking about those things that are hidden from the wise and the prudent and revealed to the babes and the sucklings that Yahweh's got positioned around the world. You see, the Bible says that Yahweh knows his people. And the Bible says that man's steps is ordered and his days are numbered. Did you know that in the book of Jeremiah, Yahweh was very concerned about this man called Jeremiah? And the reason why is because he actually knew him before he was ever in the womb. Can you comprehend this magnanimous creator who is so concerned about you? And as the Bible says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. You gotta do that sometimes, because it becomes very needful in life for you to cast those cares upon him, for he does indeed care for you, although you may not think so in this world of evil and hustle and bustle. But ladies and gentlemen, did you know that that's what was going on in the days of Noah? Noah was in an evil generation. But did you know that the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it would be in the coming of the Messiah, that he's coming back to earth in a flame of fire? But ladies and gentlemen, before he comes back, there has to be something. If you would just bear with me for just a moment to read you the 15 verses in the book of Revelations, chapter 20. And again tonight, the title of our message is Alpha Draconius. Now, you know the Bible says that Yahweh himself says he's Alpha and Omega. Well, that's a type of the serpent reptilian brain. You see, he took the nature of Yahweh's knowledge and Yahweh's understanding, and he converted it into evil, the draconius of the Alpha. It is a split brain. Now, I'm gonna get into just a little bit of the structure of the brain for you and explain to you some of the reptilian brain features that and show you how it works. Now, you know that you came into the world with a carnal mind, and there was nothing you could do about it. It, to be carnal minded, the Bible said, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, if you have life and you have it more abundantly through the brain, now, if a man thinketh, so he is. And by telling you that, we're going to express for you for just a moment here about the reptilian brain and its very nature of the possession of things unspeakable and the things that are full of glory. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me explain to you the purposes of the reptilian brain. It is to lead you astray. Now, when I say to lead you astray, I'm talking about how that Satan in his craftiness began to make war. And the Bible said he does make war with the saints, and that you're a soldier, and that you must put on the whole armor to withstand the, actually it's the wisdom of the serpent. Now the serpent is very crafty, and he's very knowledgeable. Let's talk to you a little bit about the effects of the reptilian brain. Now, the reality of the neocortex and in to parts of our brains, there is a great mystery to the infant upstairs. Now, what I'm talking about is, how did we get this reptilian brain? How did Satan interfere or intervene or impose his mind, the carnal, upon the spirit man, because Adam was a spirit man? Now, it also says that Adam was not deceived. So Satan, taking advantage of the woman, and the Bible said that she was a weaker vessel. You see how Satan attacks? If you get weak, and if you get diseased in your mind, and if you get caught up in the carnal realm, how that Satan is going to come into the cortex or to the infant upstairs, meaning that there is a reptilian brain in you to do good and evil. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd have to admit and be the first to admit that Satan is got a good part about him. Now, he appeared to Eve as the guiding light, and her infant brain, having never actually had an encounter with evil, she didn't know he was evil. She thought it was good, and that's what the Bible said. She thought it was good. These intelligent centers in the brain have enabled life to survive for thousands of years. Now, if you take the reptilian brain, is that part of our survival? Of course it is. You know what the Bible says about the reptilian brain? It says that it will wax worse and worse, or evil, more evil and evil. There is a part of us that loves or drawn to evil. Now, evil is fear. The fear of recompense. Now, the Bible said, be sure your sins find you out. Now, if we are sinners by nature, and we are because we took up on ourselves this neocortex, the brain, of the split of good and evil. One side of the brain wants to do good, and you know that. And the Bible says when you would do good, evil's always present. Now, what does it mean by that, Pastor Buddy? Well, you can bet one thing. When you do good, when you do good, now listen to me very well, when you do good, evil is always present. You see, when Yahweh done good, that part of Yahweh that in him is goodness and in him is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So, see, there was something that came out of the serpent, out of Satan, and he had the power to master the outward man. And the Bible says that he can actually take you captive at will, if so be that you don't watch and you don't pray and you don't fast and you don't seek him and you don't study to show yourself to be approved. And so the reptilian stem that goes down plumb to the spine, all the way down to the lower extremities of man. And there we have the neocortex of the limbic and the reptilian stem that is involved in our thinking. Now, if you look at the nervous system and derive from a form of manual or mammal-like reptile that once ranged widely over the world, and I told you about the dinosaurs, the dragons, and this is a follow-up to part 1, 2, 3 of the worlds. And I promised you I'd give you that because I am very anxious to get in tonight to how that the interbreeding or fusion of the reptilian DNA to the mammal DNA, which created the Illuminati reptilian human bloodlines. I want to get into that to show you that there is a thinking process in a man's brain that loves to do evil. And you know, the Messiah himself, he addressed it. He said, to do evil, they're swift to do evil, but they're slow to do good. And by nature, we're all like that. We like beautiful things that we like to see, hear, taste, smell, and feel. And that reptilian part of the brain encourages us to do so. Now, the Bible says that we've got two eyes, just like we've got two sides of our brain. We've got a left brain and we've got a right brain. And you know what that is. It's called the right and the left, functionally, the hemispheres of the neocortex. And if we plug into one side of that brain, we get the purpose and the driven ability of evil. Now, if we plug into the other side of that brain, we get the purpose and the drive to do good. Well, now, if we are in that state of decision, the valley of decision, the Bible said, learn to do good and eschew evil. And so if we put away evil things, we start building, you know, when an evil thought comes to you, what do to that? Do you nurture that thought? Or do you bring that thought under subjection, and do you begin to think in terms of forgetting the evil and choose the good? Most people forget the good and choose the evil. It is nature of the reptilian brain. Now, the question is, how did Satan get so much power into our mind. Now, the Bible says in this, and this is in Ephesians chapter 6, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So, there ain't a thing you can do in the flesh and blood state to ward off this reptilian neocortex, reptilian stem that is in you by the very seed of Satan. And you say, how in the world did we get the seed of Satan into our being? Well, he entered through the neocortex to the mind. You see, the mind is nothing but, actually, it's actually like the earth is. It's an illusionary factor of the two hemispheres, the right and left. Now, we know that the science, if you go back to Sigmund Freud and a lot of these psychologists, they're going to tell you that the left brain is the logic, and the right brain is emotion. But if you turn it around to the Hebrew conception that the Father taught us, and he taught me this, and this was early on into my life, the man is called a god. Now, a god in Hebrew is called El, E-L. Now, that means that's a reversal of what modern science would tell us, because they want to cross our wires and cross our brainstem and have us doing good when we're actually doing evil, and we're thinking we're doing good. You see that? Satan comes to confuse across the wires into our brain. So the neocortex has to be properly controlled with our thought process. As a man thinketh, so he is. Now, ladies and gentlemen, among the traits that we generate through the reptilian brain, it's a drive to establish and defend our territory. You ever notice dogs, male dogs? They are the alpha male will defend the territory, and Satan is the alpha male into our mind. And you must bring about the weakest things that you've got to offer, because man thinks he has to be strong in a state of being or superior to ward off and to defend his territory. Well, nobody could defend against Satan. Eve certainly couldn't do it, and Adam was not deceived. He wasn't in the transgression, but he had a choice to make, to stay with a woman that had her brain wires crossed. Now, when I say brain wires crossed, or the function of the electrical magnetism that we have, we're drawn towards the light. But we love dark things. We love to hide, to do things in the dark, or when nobody's noticing. When we steal, we don't want nobody to know that, because that's a penalty of the law. When we worship false gods, we don't really want to know that. We want to hide that god in a form of goodness. And the more popular that false god becomes, the more people worship it, because it's a way that seems right. And so then, the reptilian brain, it has two hemispheres, like the neocortex, and it may be that it relates functionally to the left and right hemispheres of the neocortex. Now, again, let me give you the Hebrew reason of El, E-L. Remember I told you that logic was in the left hemisphere of the brain, according to our modern psychologist. But let's go back and see what the Hebrew says again. If you take El, E-L, and apply to the logic of the spirit, then emotion is to the left side of the brain, and logic is over on the right. In other words, you've got to be stirred up to the emotional state to turn your mind into the function of your design. You were made upright. Now, the Bible says, listen to that now, the reptilian man after he took the image of Satan. You see, we bear the image of Satan through the seed. In other words, Satan fused his genetics into the woman's womb. And there, he produced the first child, and so the womb is forever tainted with the sin of that transgression. Therefore, this emotional being, this mighty God, this everlasting Father, this Prince of Peace, let me show you how he didn't display no logic there. When this happened, he didn't display no logic when, in the days of Noah, when he said, this is what they've done, this is what man has come to. And the Bible said, he said, I will destroy man in whom I have made. That's emotion. Now, there was now, you see how he acted just in a godlike state? And that's the way you got to act. Now, if you get stirred up in yourself, and the Bible says to stir yourself up and to study and to pray and to fast, that's emotion. There's no logic in that, because the logic is screaming to you when you push your plate back and fast. The logic on the right side of the brain is telling the emotional side that you've been provoked to fast and pray and to seek Him, and the logical side of the brain is screaming bloody murder. Feed me! What in the world is wrong with you? Where is your reasoning? You're going to kill your foolish self. You need vitamins and minerals. You can't live without food. I'm hungry. And the stomach pains and it cries in agony. That's the logic of reasoning against the emotional state that says, I must seek Yahweh with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my strength. Ladies and gentlemen, that drive in the reptilian brainstem to establish our territory, it's logic. But ladies and gentlemen, there must be an emotional state of man that will raise above the logic of the carnal mind. You see, Satan makes good sense when he said to the woman, yea, if God said. And the woman said, yeah. She was trying to get her balance here. She was in uncharted territory. Sometimes your brain will become to the point that it don't know what to do. Have you ever been in such a state of mind, of confusion, of agony, of torment, and you have to wrestle like Jacob wrestled with the angel that came down? He had to have an answer. And when daybreak come, which is a symbol of the light, in other words, light comes in the morning, you have to hold on, you have to wrestle against these fleshly temptations. And did you know that there's 17 works of the flesh? 17, but there's only 9 works of the Spirit. You know why? Because Satan has empowered that logical mind to say, well, you know, you don't need to become dogmatic and determined to serve Yahweh. You don't have to fast. You don't have to pray. What do you want to do that for, you idiot? Look at the rest of the people. They're seeking the world. Seek me. Go ahead and get your fortune first. You can do this later. See, that's the logic talking to the emotional side of the brain that's trying to grasp the will to power. Now, let me state that again. You must grasp the will to power. Now, what am I talking about here, the will to power? It is the will, and when he prayed his prayer, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. Thy will be done. And you got to have that power. When you begin to dig in to seek Yahweh with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you watch the logical side of your brain conflict you. will defend its territory. It'll come on you like a junkyard dog. It'll attack your whole emotional base system. And it'll exemplify itself, and it will throw down your emotional state, and you'll begin to feel silly. But now, wait a minute here. I said you'll begin to feel foolish, silly. Let me give you a scripture to counteract that logic of the right side of the brain. The Bible said Yahweh chose the foolish things to confound the logic of the wise. I want to repeat that to give you an obsessive, compulsive behavior to the logic. You get into certain rituals. In other words, if you get addicted to, say, like caffeine, you got to have a cup of coffee every morning, or you get a headache. Well, that's repetition and becoming addicted. Some people get addicted to certain things, drugs and violence. You know, violence grows on you. If you kill somebody, they say there's nothing like a high to kill someone, especially when nobody's looking, just like Cain did. See, that's that logical brain. You know what Cain said? Wait a minute here. Why did he choose Abel over me? Why did he do that for? Man, I'm just as good as Abel. What's he got to offer Yahweh that I don't have to offer? Well, you come back and you look at the reasoning, and the logic sounded pretty good. Cain brought a sacrifice, and Abel brought one. But the difference is in the reason for the two. One was a vegetable offering, that vegetable matter of the brain. There it is again. Fusing of the reptilian DNA. Cain got him a good dose of the reptilian fusing of DNA. In other words, his father was not Yahweh. Now, I'm going to shock you with that. The reptilian brain that Cain had was not of the Father. His mind was not in the thinking mode of the emotional state of the Creator. You see, Yahweh is pure emotion. And there's no logic to Yahweh because everything He does on earth is counter. Now let me give you something. That which is highly esteemed in the logic among man is actually an abomination to Yahweh. Now let me repeat that. That which is highly esteemed among man is actually an abomination to Yahweh. That emotional God that wants to lead you and to stir you up in your pyramid, not your reptilian brain. The pyramid of Yahweh has no fear. Love, perfect love, casts out fear. Emotion is love. If you don't love somebody, you're never going to hug them, you're never going to kiss them, you're never going to... See, Satan has a logical brain. He's got to have a reason for doing it. Yahweh had no other reason than He had you as His children to display the emotional steps that is necessary from the left side of your brain. Now, what do we get when we say L, E-L, emotion to the left and logic to the right? What does Sigmund Freud and all of the other psychologists, what do they say? It's actually opposite. They say that logic is on the left side of the brain and emotion is on the right side. But ladies and gentlemen, see, whatever is up is down concerning Yahweh. Whatever is in is out. Whatever seems right is wrong. Whatever seems wrong is right. So that just wreaks havoc with the reptilian brain that does these day-to-day rituals and superstitious acts. Paul said, I fear that you're too superstitious here. You can't catch my drift. Conformance to the old way of doing things. Cain was acting in the old way. He was acting in the, in, in the genetic DNA code impressed in the reptilian brainstem to act just like his daddy did. You know what Yahweh said in John 8:44? Your father, he's fixing to indict Cain and the devil, and I'll prove it to you right here. Your father is the devil, and the works of the devil you will do. For he, now we're fixing to get Cain here. See, Cain murdered Abel in a flesh body. Cain was the exemplification of Satan to the logical side of the brain. It seemed justifiable to Cain. He had no second thoughts about killing him because the logic said, now look here, he's rejected me. And then he's accepted Abel, but if I get rid of Abel, the logic says, if I get rid of him, he ain't got no choice. I'm the only game in town. And that's what the devil said, and that's why he become a killer, a stealer, and a destroyer, because of his acts and ceremonial reenactments. He reenacted, if you will, the things that Satan was made out of. The Bible said Satan was perfect till iniquity was found in him. You see, that logical mind, that same God, you see, the devil put up every conceivable deception and every manner of deception. Why would he do that? Because he wants to control the reptilian manipulation and stimulation of your brain on the logical side. People go to study to be very smart because they want logic. Very few people want to seek emotion. The only time they get emotional is when somebody dies or somebody cries, or they've lost their best friend, or they've lost their girlfriend or their boyfriend. You see, that emotional side, we have that side about us in a carnal state that seems right. And so by the logic of the carnal mind, we think we're doing good, when in reality, we are just personal to day-to-day rituals and superstitious acts in the way that seems right, because we have been caught up in all manner of the deception of He who dwells in the heavens, the power of heaven. I'm going to talk about the power of heaven, and I'm going to get into Alpha Draconia, the constellations in the heavens. I'm going to get into that. For the first time, live on radio, I am going to teach you about the constellations and the stars that are numbered above your head, and why that they paint such a myriad of emotion by the Father. This great artist, this mighty one, Yahweh, who painted the heavens and the constellations in such a way that the heavens declare the works of His hand. So then, we're going to take a look at the reptilian brain as it comes into focus with reality versus the spirit. Humans invent rituals and ceremonies. The Bible said that the fallen ones, Lucifer first, he was the first one to fall, and then he enticed one third of the mighty ones, the elves. And these Elohim, in the plural, these Elohim came down and they invented rituals and ceremonies, and then theater. You see, we like to act out things. Where do you suppose these revelations come from? That movies, every week, there's almost a new movie coming out, and people hoard the movies. And they pay enormous amounts of their money to be set and entertained, or let the brainstem of the reptilian side of their logic. We like to see murder. We like to see blood flowing. That's a Canaanite trait. We like to see the good guy get the girl and ride off into the sunset. That's a reptilian trait. That's not Yahweh. That's reptilian to stimulate your logic and to actually cool your passion. You don't have to be so. You know, when I fasted 40 days, I had my advisors. Oh, buddy, you don't have to do that. Yahweh wants you to starve yourself. Look at you. You're down to 126 pounds. And look at you. You're a bag of bones. I lost over 45 pounds when I fasted. Ladies and gentlemen, logic just don't know how to understand that. But there was an emotional force was driving me to become what Yahweh wanted me to become, and the only way I could get there in that mental state of oppression and depression. Oh man, when you fast, you get depressed. When you get in this mental state of out there, that's where the rewards are. You got to break through the veil. When I fasted 40 days, it broke me into a foolish way. I didn't break into the logic of understanding things. I had a complete reversal of my brainstem. I was amazed. I just didn't understand what in the world was going on, man. The way that I used to think, I no longer thought. The things I used to love, I no longer loved. And the things I used to hate, I mean, that emotional state of being, man, I clung to it. I had my advisors in the logic realm, attacked in my brainstem, and trying to assault me, to defend the territory. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this territory extends far out beyond this little world of our own. The Bible says that the powers that be that are ordained from the foundation of the world. There is a logical power that just seemed like it fit the brainstem of Cain. And of course, Cain is a prototype. Now, I want you to understand that we all came through that tainted womb, and we all had to die. Now, there's no logic in that. That makes me emotional. I get very emotional when I have to go to the graveyard and look at my fallen brethren and sisters, your children, your friends, and your neighbors next door. You have to attend the funerals all the time. Everybody's dying. You see, but the Bible says that's the logic is, why don't we invent something that would cure death? Why don't we come up with something to make us live longer? Isn't that what we're saying? Yet within that framework, Yahweh has bound the thought process, because as a man thinketh, so he is. If you lean to the carnal mind, you're always pursuing that. We go to the universities, we study for medicines, and we spend enormous sums of money and time. And ladies and gentlemen, the best time we can spend is 40 days in a fast. I'm telling you, it is awesomely foolish. I mean, coin that word, awesomely foolish for you to do that. And I don't advise you to do it if you're not trained to do it. I had to train myself for several years, and right now I couldn't do it again. I don't think I could. Maybe if my emotions got high enough, I could probably press toward the mark in a high calling. I could seek him with all my heart, soul, and mind strength. But it seems like when you break through that veil, when that barrier, that 40 day, to me, the 40 days was a barrier. I had to break through to see the other side. Now that was the emotion that kept screaming at me to do it. But the logical side, every morning when I got up, my head was spinning. I was weak. I'd fall to my knees. It was many mornings I had to crawl out of the bed and go to work. And I didn't feel like it. Every logical scream in my vocabulary came exiting from my mouth. You foolish thing, what's wrong with you? Are you going to try to kill yourself this morning? You're going to die. You've got your friends. They're telling you you're going to die. You need to back off. And then there was an emotional strength stream of energy would well up in me. One more step. One more day. I'll be back tonight. I'll lay down on my bed. I'm going to occupy. And the Bible says you must occupy with emotion. You got to lay hold on eternal life. It is a fleeing thing. It flees from the logical side of the brain. The logical side of the brain has no life. It's dead. It trusts in its own reasoning. Cain trusted in his own reasoning, ladies and gentlemen. He was trusting in those things which he could see. He growed his own vegetables. He brought them up there, and Yahweh didn't require vegetables. See, this vegetable matter of the brain, that represents the vegetable matter. And ladies and gentlemen, outside the veil of this vegetable matter is the gateway to eternity. It extends far beyond the patch of earth in the human brain. You got to understand this. I hope and pray and trust that you can see as you struggle to enter in at the straight gate. Now the Bible said if the eye be single, and you have got two eyes to match your two brains. As it is marvelous how that we see things and it projects in a backward way. And it comes to us like we're standing in a mirror. We see things as they are, but they ain't. And the logic of the carnal mind don't understand that. It just can't grasp that it has to die. It's always struggling to extend its lifespan. Paul said to die is gain, but to live is the Messiah. And when we understand these things, we'll see that there is more to life and death than we really realize. Did you know that we should explore death more than we explore life? Did you know that we should pursue death and its consequences more than we pursue life? And you say, well, Pastor Bud, that's not logical. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not. But the Bible said to die is gain. Well, but to live is Christ. In other words, you've got to serve Him or you're going to die. So you ain't got no choice there. But see, man, when he lives longer, and today man is living as long as we know in our age, the average lifespan, I think, is about 78 years old. And for a woman, I think it's a little bit older. That's average, give or take, but the whole complete average. So we feel like it's a long time when we live to be 75, 80, 90. We thought, well, boy, we're living good. And we want to live healthy. We don't want to get sick, and we certainly don't want to suffer. And nobody does, because the logic would say that we shouldn't suffer. Logic is emotionless. It has no logic. It has no emotion. Logic. You ever see educated people and you ever see people that just uses logic and they're not touched. Their heart is not, the Bible says their heart is seared. You know, somebody that's using emotion, I mean, I see somebody hungry and sick and naked and diseased. I want to help them. My heart goes out to them. Especially for the household of faith. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. What give us this reptilian desire? When Satan mated with Eve, you say, oh, Pastor, buddy, you were doing good. You got to that.
I just can't understand that, Pastor, buddy.
I just don't know what you're talking about. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Draco is Latin for dragon. In the constellation of Draco, you know where it's at? It's a far northern constellation that is circumpolar. And in the northern hemisphere, observers are noticed that it is one of the 88 modern constellations. 88. They've counted. And one of the 48 constellations that was listed by Ptolemy. old school said there was 36. That's 3 times 12, by the way. Of course, 48 is 4. And 88 is quite a few constellations. But in the modern constellation, we have what is known as Draco, and it's called the Dragon Star. Now, the reason why it's called the Dragon Star is because it is in the north, and it's a polar star, where that people get their directions, like sailors and mariners and things of this nature, because it doesn't move. It's stable. And every few thousand years, these stars change. And in the time of Thuban, in the age of Thuban, that was the Draconius. That was the star that was present in 10,000 B.C., where we believe that maybe that Adam was introduced to the world, or the first Adam. And this is after many, many generations and spans of periods of ages that existed before, and that man has been around here for a long time. In 2700 B.C., the star Thuban appeared again, 2700. Now, that's about 1,000 years before Christ. It's actually about the time of David. During the time of the ancient Egyptians, due to the effects of the precession, it will once again be the polar star around the year of 21,000 A.D. Now, think about that. Now, let's go into some of the, well, I ain't got time to go into some of these mysteries tonight, ladies and gentlemen, about Orion's belt, which is actually, if you look at the pyramid, to the left is Orion's belt in the constellation. See, the pyramid points straight up to a certain star system. And if you look to the right, it points to Thuban. That is the descending passageway that goes down to the depth, very bottom of the pyramid. It's a dark, foreboding place. In ancient Egypt, the stars of modern-day Orion represented Osiris, the god of the dead. Now, if you study in astrology and astronomy, you'll know that Khufu's burial chamber was allegedly fashioned deep inside the Great Pyramid. Two skinny shafts bore outward from the chamber, and for decades, scholars thought that they were air shafts. But in the 60s, astronomers found that they have an astronomical purpose. Oh, what is that purpose? At the time that the pyramid was built, one of the shafts aimed toward the star that was then closest to the north celestial pole. The other aimed at the belt of Orion, one of the brightest and most impressive constellations. The north celestial pole is the hub of the northern sky. All the stars appear to rotate around the hub. Now, did you know that Satan wanted to be the center of attraction? He wanted to be glorified, and see, that's why they call it Draco, the dragon star. Because he wanted to, see, he shines real bright. He wants to guide you. And as long as he get that right left brain into his thinking, then he's got you. Because the Bible says again, as a man thinketh, so he is. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be in North Carolina this weekend. If you'd like to meet with Pastor Buddy, and just a few, we're going to be at a private home, but it's going to be a time of fellowship. Some of the brothers are just going to gather in. It's not our Pentecost meeting time. It's on the 21st, which is when we're going to have a major eclipse. So you need to look for that on the 21st. That'll be in next week on the 21st. that's a time that you really need to observe the heavens, and you can see some things. We're going to go into a three-part series here with the dragon and his ability to enact upon your mind and impress upon you the logic of his understanding. And boy, to deal with this, it is amazing. And once you pray through, once you have an encounter with Yahweh, you're no longer that old creature. That's the one that Satan dominates. You got to become a new creature. You got to think in terms of foolishness. I mean, when people raise their hands and shout hallelujah, I wear my hallelujah shirt around to some of these places, and they say, what does that mean? I say, haven't you ever said hallelujah? Oh, yeah. Is that what that means? I mean, when they see it, they don't even know what they're saying. I mean, when it's written right on your back and on your breast in bold letters, hallelujah, it's the highest praise in the heavens. It is praise be Yahweh. Oh, my. How wonderful. How full of joy. Again, is this great revelation of Yahweh. Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh is a strong tower. And the Bible said, now, here's what the Bible said. It said the righteous run into it and they're safe. Well, how safe are those that are in Yahweh? Forever he sealed them with the anointing power of the resurrection. If you believe in me, you shall never die. You see, Satan said you wouldn't die. Yahweh commanded that you would die. Now, the Satan was wanting you to live in the flesh body. He wanted you to enjoy yourself. He wanted you to eat, drink, and be merry. He wanted you to give cause for him and to serve him and to seek the God of forces. But, ladies and gentlemen, don't you know that Yahweh wants to conquer your brain? You got to totally submit to him. You've got to see and ask for the old path. What is that old path? Well, it's an humble way. Why should you pray and be humble, Pastor Buddy? Why should you do all those things? Because he said, the day that you seek me, you will know me and you will understand me. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got to go to the mountain here pretty soon. We've got about 4 minutes. And we're going to talk to you just a minute and tell you about our meeting here in Bryson City, North Carolina. Now, if you'd like information on how to get there, you got to call Pastor Buddy. We'll tell you where the meeting's going to be held. And Yahweh wants you to come to the mountain. It's right in the top of the Smoky Mountains, Bryson City, a river town, a lovely place with brothers and sisters gathered around to show their love and to exhibit their emotion. How foolish we are. Well, sometimes we just sit and cry. Sometimes we just get our guitars and praise and dance and sing and have a wonderful time. It's just joy unspeakable and full of glory sometimes. But sometimes it's a sad occasion, it's a solemn occasion sometimes. We change, we're emotional, see? We go from one high to one low. But let it be said, we'll never see the righteous forsaken or his seed a begging bread. Yahweh bless you, ladies and gentlemen, to come to the meeting this weekend. It's on the 18th. It'll be on Saturday. To Bryson City, North Carolina. And if you need to call Pastor Buddy, you can do so at area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, I'll give you cell phone numbers that you can contact the people in Bryson City and the home numbers where that you can find the gathering place. It's a beautiful log cabin up in the Smoky Mountains where we'll gather. and we'll just praise and honor. We'll go out on the altar that night. We'll get on the sacred circle, and we'll worship Yahweh. That's what we do, and we love to do it. Praise Yahweh. We're emotional, caught up in the things of Yahweh, and we like to meet and gather together in heavenly places. If you'd like to write me tonight, you can do so by writing Pastor Buddy. That's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, that's Post Office Box. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, it's 37824. Don't forget the zip code 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me again tonight, area code 423-626-217. And ladies and gentlemen, we love you a whole bunch tonight. If you want to go to the mountain with us, come to Bison City, North Carolina, and join us in fellowship with the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. We'll just be there, just old-fashioned, good old country people. We're nothing special. We're just good old common foolish people, and we love Yahweh. And tonight, I send you racial covenant greetings around the world to wherever you assemble in the great name of Yahweh, that His blessings and His Shekinah be upon you.